Okay, so here we go. Good morning. We're gonna go to Daf Lamed Chet. Daf Lamed Chet. It's Amud Aleph. You see my, see my mouse. This is the last line of Amud Aleph. So, you know, if you're flipping, it doesn't even pay to flip. But, I mean, I guess it always pays to flip for a couple words. Okay, so I have a Gemara also in front of me. I managed to put the Gemara behind the computer and not have the computer topple on my lap. So if I hit it, it's going to actually fall on me. So hopefully I'll be able to see what my dexterity is like. So I'm staring at the screen, but I'm not really. So it's a half a facade because I'm doing both the Gemara and the screen back and forth. And the pictures of all you are like the bottom of the screen. I can kind of see most of you. So, you can get my attention. Like Natan and Toby, I'm able to see on the screen. And David, I have no idea why you know, Zoom chooses certain people to be visible and not. It's not through the order. Also Sherelle. And Sherelle was like one of the last people to join, yet she's the, I don't know. And Ellie was one of the first people to join, isn't there, so I don't know. Whatever. Okay. It's remind us we live in a world that, you know, we can't, we don't really understand what goes on. Okay, so the Gemara says, Beis Hillel Omri, which is a quote from our Mishnah, Af Machzirin. And what I want to do today is I want to begin to discuss the concept of Chazara, which means returning a pot to a Kira, returning a pot to an oven. Again, this is not, forget Bishul. This is not a Bishul. We've taken care of Bishul. Our food is either fully cooked or a third cooked. It's not a cooking issue at all, okay? What is the issue? Okay, so that's we're gonna continue to evaluate today, okay? But that's what so Beis Hillel says af machzirin, meaning whatever we did and we discussed in the last few weeks of shehiya, food that is put on your kira, food that is put in your oven before Shabbos and it's left on, that's called shehiya, right? To leave it on there. Now we're not talking about a situation, or maybe you did shehiya, and now what you want to do is, you know, the classic example. You know, on a Friday night, you have a big pot of chillin. And what do you want to do? You want to have a little bit of chillin for the tish Friday night. But here's the other thing. You only have a little bit. Maybe it's a smaller crowd. Maybe the chillin is ginormous. Because you're also going to have it for Shabbos day. So the question is going to be, would you be allowed to siphon off some of the chillin Friday night, enjoy it, and then be able to put that pot back on the stovetop? Okay, so that's going to be really our question. Or the kira. I'd be careful what we call English and Hebrew words here, right? So that's the question of called Chazara. So again, on Shabbos day itself, to put the pot back on the fire, right? The concept of Chazara. Okay, that's what this is referring to. So Beis Hillel says, yeah, you can do so. Now, Omar Roshesh says, here we go. The Divre, this is according to Ha'amer Machzir ben Afilu b'Shabbos. What? Oh, my internet is unstable. Ellie, what did you send me? Oh, Ellie sent me. Okay,
right now, I can hear you.
What? Can everyone hear me?
Don't worry about that.
Oh, okay, so you sent me something. I thought I'd do this year. Didn't do this year. Okay, fine. So the Av Machzirin, Afilu Shabbos. Okay, so again, you're allowed to put it back on Shabbos. Here we go. Av the Av Rabbi Ushia Savar Av Machzirin Afilu Shabbos comes on with Ushia, and he says, yeah, I want to tell you something very important here. That when Beis Hillel says that you're allowed to put this food, you're allowed to put this dish back on the fire on Shabbos, right? On this Kira on Shabbos. What's it referring to? You're allowed to do so under what condition? Under what condition is he saying that? Of course, it is Gerufa Uchtuma, meaning you've already taken care of your fire. You've either removed all the coals or you've done ashes on it. That's what it's referring to. We're talking about machzirin, putting the pot back on your fire on Shabbos. The Amar Rabbi Yushia, because Rabbi Yushia said the following. Pam achas hayiti omedim le'ela mirabbi chia rabba. The one time we were hanging out, I'm sure there were under five people, I don't know, maybe not. Rabbi Chia, right? The le'ela, the great, the chashuv. By the way, why was he called the great and the chashuv, right? I don't know why, but yeah, but he was. I didn't have time to look it up, but that's what they refer to him as sometimes. They want to make a distinction to different names, maybe. Maybe he did some act that was wonderful. I don't know. I didn't have time to look it up, but okay, that's what they referred to him as. right? Rechia Rabba, Rechia the Great. Ve'luhu lo kumos shel chamin. And we brought, so I can remember, in those days, they lived in two-floor buildings, right? There was no steel. So since there was no steel, you really couldn't have more than a couple of floors. You could have multiple buildings. You didn't have the foundations, right? And you didn't dig deep in the ground and, like, have basements with steel. They didn't have that type of construction. So they had, like, almost a half floor instead of, right? So they would call these almost like these kind of like attics where they put, those who are familiar with it, put a ladder, get one floor to another. Rarely they didn't have stairs. Stairs are very expensive and often they weigh too much. And they wouldn't be very good for construction. So they often, you had to get the second floor, you'd have a ladder that you would carry over that you would use. Fine. And what happened? So we brought, he asked for this for hot water. You know, he wanted, I guess, I don't know, you know, some tea or whatever. So we bring up a kettle of hot water and we bring it up, right? So from the lower level to the higher level, right? So that's what he says here. Midiyota tachtona lidiyota yona. So he brought it up from the lower floor to the higher floor. Mazagnu lo esakos. And what did we do? So you have to understand something. That what did we, that in those days, what would you drink? Wine was not an alcoholic yontif Shabbat beverage. It was kind of the default. That's what you drank during the week as well. But in this case, referring to Shabbos, obviously. There's nothing to talk about. You have to understand that in those days, their wine was very concentrated. And you needed to dilute it in order to make it drinkable. Otherwise, it would be pretty disgusting. It was almost more like a wine, you know, solution, a syrup solution that you would need to dilute. So what would they do? They had this, you know, thick type of beverage, and they added hot water to it. That's what I'm saying. They diluted this cup of wine. Umazu lo es hakos. That's what it's referring to. And the hagazar nu limkomo. And this is from our topic. Now, so we brought up the hot water. We poured it. We gave them hot water so you could drink. And then what did we do? We went back downstairs with this kettle, right? And what do? We put it back, meaning we put it back on the kira. And you wouldn't have your kira on the upper floor. The upper floor was often much smaller. Maybe you have a small little bedroom, a little study, an attic, right? Your kitchen where you cook was definitely on the main floor. Also, the upper floor was more private, right? So you wouldn't have, you would have people up there meeting, but your main floor was definitely where you would eat. Also for safety purposes, you want to have your oven there as well. So what do? We put it back, we put this kettle back on the main floor. On this kira, velo amar la nu davar, and he did not object. He didn't say anything, meaning the very fact that Rabushia is making a statement, and he said that no, he didn't stop us, right? Rabbi Chia did not stop us. He allowed us to do this, which means if he allowed us to do it, he's making the statement. Why? Because he gave us the thumbs up. It was permissible to do. So what do we see from here? We see, here's the source. And remember, one of the greatest proofs in Shas, the truth is, we see it in Mishnah too, is that if you want to prove something, a Maisa. When the Mishnah gives us a Maisa, the Gemara gives us a Maisa, it's not telling us a nice story. It's not interested in a historical event, but rather it's telling us if this is the way these individuals acted, that means they approved of such behavior. He didn't say anything. He gave it the thumbs up. And therefore, it appears it is permissible to do. No reason why not. Okay? Now, interesting. What is the machzir in afilu b'Shabbos? So I kind of tried to explain it this way, but if you want, Rashi is trying to tell us something. B'yoma machras, meaning that it's the daytime, the next day, is what we're referring to of chazara, right? Meaning we're not talking about nighttime on Shabbos. Now, in theory, I think the first time I gave up chont at night, that is a possibility. But even the daytime, you know, you have, let's say, your morning kiddush. You know, if you got a shkaminyan in, so you want to have a l'chaim maybe, you know, at 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. You want to have the first round of cholent. And later on with the family, you give another round, you know, 12:30 or 1 o'clock, right? So that is referring to daytime, right? So that's what Rashi, I think, seems to indicate here at the top, Rashi, at the top of the page, which I opened up for the mouses in case you want to follow along. For lo tema, This is not referring to nighttime. Excuse me. It's not referring to, you know, shkiyah to the chavim on Friday night. This is referring to daytime. Pasamu d'shaira, and we still are going to permit it. Why? Mishum d'mogam milsa d'ate l'hadure l'tzorech machar, meaning shakole. Meaning when I put it up, if I'm going to even take from it on Friday night, I'm putting it back with the intent I'm going to take from it again tomorrow. But what I want to show you, the bigger chiddush, is that, meaning, I'll give an example. Why doesn't why are we giving an example of when you're taking it off in the morning? If you were to take it off Friday night, when you take your cholent pot Friday night, it's much more obvious that you still want to partake of the food Shabbos day, right? So when I take off my, I don't know, we'll use this as an example. I don't know if you can see. There you go, right? Pretend this is not plastic, but this is metal, right? So when I take this off the fire Friday night, it's so obvious that I still want to partake from whatever the contents are on Shabbos day. But if I do so Shabbos morning at 9 a.m. or 8 a.m., it could be I'm done. It could be I'm finished. So the bigger chiddush is that even in the day, if you remove it, and you might think that I'm finished, I'm done with it, this is my seuda, no, I can still do, but there's still a legal way, shall we say, to do chazara even during the daytime. We're going to see this being expounded on in a few moments in the Gemara. Meaning, the notion, and this is what Rashi is saying here, it's so obvious Friday night when I take it off the oven that I'm still going to want to put it back because I'm going to need the content tomorrow. But in the morning, you know, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, when I remove it from the fire, right? That it's not so simple and obvious that I'm still going to want more later. Yet, nonetheless, it is permissible, right? You follow? Meaning, here's a rule, as I'm sure you're familiar with it. When it comes to Gemara, you want to give the biggest chiddush, right? The biggest chiddush, you can expand to things that are smaller. The biggest chiddush is, even in the daytime, where you might think this is your seudah, this is your meal, and you know, it's not that you want it again in 12 hours from now. That you're going to go back to it 2 or 3 hours later, even in that case, it is still permissible to do. Wow, look at the words that Rashi says, right? Batla Atmana. They are Atmana. Why is this Atmana? This is Chazara. So remember our nomenclature of Rashi. Our nomenclature of Rashi is, we said this weeks after, Shehiya equals Atmana equals Chazara, right? That all three are governed by very similar principles. Right? All similar rules. And that's Rashi's definition, why it seems he's throwing out Hatamana over here. Okay. Finished. Back to our Gemara. Oh, Vavile Kimat Min Chathchila. Sorry, I apologize. I'm going to finish the Rashi. And Vavile Kimat Min Chathchila, you are allowed to do this. That when you took it off the fire in the morning, you would be allowed to do it. That was your intent. That's what you wanted to do. It's a chiddush that you're going back to a little bit later and is still permissible to do. So regardless, if you want to do even chazara, you want to do atmana, you're allowed to do it. In obviously, shia is not relevant because she is a concept before Shabbos. But when it comes to atmana, when it comes to chazara, you'd be allowed to do it even in the morning, not just at night. Again, we're talking about a situation where kira is taken care of. It's geruf achduma. The coals have been removed, or we dumped ash over the coals, right? That is a prerequisite. And again, our food is going to have to be cooked. That is another prerequisite, right? Those are a given. Those are axiomatic that those are done, right? Otherwise, you're violating Bishul Mina Torah, right? Remember, Hananiah says it has to be a third cook. Chachamim say it has to be fully cooked. Whatever it may be, but we're in a situation where it's not a Bishul issue, right? Those have been taken care of, and we're playing in the realm of the Rabbanans. Of gezeras, of rabbinical prohibition. From a daraisa biblical perspective, it appears to be a non-issue. We're just playing in the rabbanon issue. Okay, now, good question. What, my friends, are we concerned about? Meaning, when it comes to chazara, what does it appear that we need to be conscious of? What might be the reason behind the rabbinic prohibition? Why did Chachamim say that when it comes to Chazara, again, I don't understand. My food is fully cooked. Ain bishul achar bishul. We established our principle many months ago. Once you have a food that's cooked, it can't be more cooked. So why can't I put it back on a regular fire? It can't get more cooked. Why did the rabbis institute a gzeira saying, no, you have to do gruv ochtuma. You have to remove the coals or the dump ashes. Why do I need to do it at 8 o'clock in the morning on Shabbos? My chulent is fully cooked. My hot water is fully, you know, boiling, right? Why is it that I can only return it to a kira that is gruv ochtuma? The coals have been removed or the ashes have been dumped on my coals. Why? Why did Chachamim make such a gzera? Answer. You have to unmute yourself. Answer.
You'll Ellie. Stoke them.
So says Ellie, Shema Yechateba Gechalim. You might come to stoke the coals. Why? What do I mean by that, Ellie? Let's play it out the scenario.
You're going to want to make it hotter faster, I think. And by stoking the coals, you might actually be doing bishul over there.
But Kevin, not bishul if it's fully cooked, shahia.
Wait, what's the coal? Okay.
So again, remember, my food is fully cooked. So if I have a fully cooked cholent, I can't do more bishul and bishul har bishul. It's shahia that I'm worried about. I mean, sorry, it's shahia. Sorry, it's havara that I'm worried about, right? I might be mavi.
Oh, yeah, kindling the coals, right?
Sorry?
You're kindling the coals.
So killing the coals is a havara issue.
Right.
I'm mavir, right? Okay, it's not bishul. Not bishul. I can't cook my food's fully cooked. And bishul, right? So meaning I might be spreading the heat. I might continue to spread the heat that's what Ellie says, right? We saw that as a concern that you might, now remember, what's the concern? That's step one. That you're going to shema yechateba gichalim, right? And you'll be, what are you going to do with it? Remember, there's only one step. Remember we saw in Chav Dalid, Chav Hey, what do we see there in the Gemara? That you then are going to matmim beremet sish b'gachelas, right? So it's a crazy stage. That you'll come to shema yechateba gichalim, and you might come, why can't you do hatman, which is enveloping? Because you might come to be matmin in an actual coal itself, right? So even though it's maybe two stages away, we still have a concern that we need to take care of our fire, because who knows what it might lead you to do, to stoke the coals, right? We saw an opinion that says you want to increase the heat. We saw that's not really the issue. It's not about really increasing the heat, but it's about having a fire that has heat that you're interested in continuing some type of, you know, the heating up food process. You got to do something to demonstrate that you're not interested in the heating up process. How do I demonstrate that? Making sure that I have no coals or that I've dumped ash over it. By the way, I should have mentioned this, but just in case it's not obvious, when must I remove the coals or dump the ashes? Before Shabbos, right? I can't do that on Shabbos. That'd be usur to do, right? So it has to be that before Shabbos, I've taken care of my kira. And by the way, this goes to show you, if you have a kira in the times of Chazal, if you even dumped ash in your kira, yes, even at 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, in the winter, in the summer, 16 hours after Shabbos started, there's still heat. I have to realize this, right? 16 hours later, there's still heat. And there's still what the fan, potentially, right? Right? You have to realize this. There's still what the fan 16 hours later. Not like the summer where Shabbos starts, you know, at 9 o'clock at night, right? And it's only 12 hours later, 9 in the morning. Talking 16 hours later where Shabbos is at 5 o'clock, right? We are still concerned that Shabbos day, even by the way, remember last week's topic? Last week's topic, even you have ashes and there's an explosion of the fire, right? These things happen. A little bit, we know, a little bit of an ember can still cause a tremendous fire. So we have maybe just a little bit of an ember. Nonetheless, we can wake up that ember if need be and turn it into a raging fire. For sure, if we get involved. And sometimes even if we don't get involved, but you know, if the wind blows in the right way and da da da, it could even happen. So this is a concern that we have. But it needs to be taken care of.
Why does Gruf and Ketuma make a difference then?
So we saw over the past few weeks, either, so we saw Tosfos, so we kind of disagreed with, because it doesn't seem to be rational. Tosfos seems to argue Mosif Heva, that you're not allowed to add heat. So by dumping ashes, the heat is lowered. We actually saw that's not necessarily true, that heat could actually continue to go up if there's enough of a strong burning fire happening, even by dumping ashes over it. So Rashi says you need a heker. You need a heker to demonstrate I'm not interested in enhancing the cooking process. How do I do that? I have something recognizable. Dumping ashes, I physically, psychologically, emotionally demonstrated that I'm not interested in enhancing the cooking. Okay?
What's Mosif Heva? You're not allowed to add heat to
Mosif Heva means increase the temperature. The temperature can't be increased. The problem is...
But if it's before Shabbos, then what's the problem? Like...
So Shehiya is before Shabbos. Okay, so again, Shehiya, in order to leave food, even fully cooked, you need to take care of your fire.
Yeah, but what's the problem with adding heat on Shabbos? Before Shabbos. Like, what Isser is that?
So they made a rabbinic enactment. This is made a gezera of Shehiya. That they are concerned, maybe you're going to come and... stoke the coals.
I'm saying, like, aside from that, because I was asked, okay, I know I missed a lot of time, so I'll try to make this quick, but Grufa Ketuma, we just said, doesn't really make a difference for Shema Yechata.
No, it does. Again. Grufa Ketuma won't make a difference. It still might cause the temperature to increase. By doing Grufa Ketuma, Rashi says, why would I not come to stoke the coals? Rashi says, because I have a reminder. I have ashes dumped on my coals. So if I come to stoke them, what's going to happen? Oh, what am I doing? I have ashes here. I'm such a fool. I can't stoke the coals. It's Shabbos.
Yeah,
oh, I pressure in my kitchen. I pressure in the dining room. No, bring out the hot food already. And I'm like, oh, man, it's not hot enough. The temperature has been decreasing, right? I got pressure. So what might I do? I might fan a little bit to get a little bit warmer and then bring it out. No, I'm not going to do it because there's something here that reminds me physically, psychologically, emotionally not to do it.
But that's on Shabbos, and that's the question of Shema Yechata, right?
Yeah, so Shema Yechata Gechleim is on Shabbos, correct. So what do we do beforehand? We set up our fire to ensure that we're not going to do anything on Shabbos. So we'll prepare our oven, our coals, ahead of time.
But what was the first thing you said from Tosfos about Mosif Heva?
So, Tosfos on the Mishnah says that we're concerned to bring Mosif Heva.
And when is that concern? Before Shabbos?
Temperature rising. So if you just said the temperature decrease, how do you do that? If you dump ashes, your temperature decreases.
Okay, so what's wrong with the temperature rising again?
Because what are you doing if the temperature rises? The temperature rises, you might be violating a prohibition of Havara. Because you're going to stoke the coals.
Even if you're not doing any, because you might stoke the coals, then you're like...
By coming to stoke the coals, you are going to violate Havara. So if the temperature goes up, what might I do? Oh, wow, it's getting hotter. Fantastic. It's fantastic.
Okay.
You're gonna.
Is that like a zero?
So it's actually very interesting when it comes to cooking. You're right. In certain cases, it appears that there are many cases. There's a zera to zera, and the Achronim say when it comes to cooking, and we're gonna see this a lot today, that because cooking is such a staple, and it is something which is fundamental in all human beings, they don't say this, but I'll throw this in, especially with Jews. Especially on Shabbos, we are not going to be afraid to almost make almost a gzera to a gzera. Some argue that's really one gzera. It's in the realm of the rabbanans of cooking, right? And they're kind of all lumped together and connected. That's what the Achronim want to explain. That's one concept. Others say, no, we're worried you're going to do this. That might lead to that. Oh, it's two stages. We generally do not do gzera to gzera. Cooking on Shabbos will be an exception. Why? because it's a fundamental part of human nature to eat, to cook, to enjoy food, and therefore, in this case, this might be an exception to the rule. The other school of thought says, no, all these gzeiras are kind of lumped together under the gzeira of you're gonna have what's called havara. How it manifests itself is with this or with that or so they look at it as kind of like one larger umbrella. There's probably not gonna be a big enough kamina between the two. People, whatever. It's not for now. But it's a good question, Moshe. This is a good question. Those are the two different ways of responding to it. Okay. Back to and remember, by the way, I should just clarify. Someone asked this last week, I don't remember who it was. This is very important. Wait a second. So then if it's fully cooked, what's the problem? Remember our Mishnah last week, I can't remember anymore. Since 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. What's the issue with, what about if it's fully cooked? Well, because if it's still fully cooked, there still might be an issue. Remember, that's called mitstamek v'yafelo. That sometimes, when it comes to beef in particular, even though beef is fully cooked, sometimes we like it to caramelize even more, right? Onions and potatoes and many food items which are fully cooked can still remain on the fire and become better over time. And that's also still a problem, right? So that's why even fully cooked food, you need to take care of your fire and your coals. Why? It's fully cooked. What's the problem? It's before Shabbos. Why can't that leave them here? The answer is because there's still another issue. And that is, mitstamek v'yafelo. Sometimes food gets better. Only in a case of mitstamek v'ralo, where food is 100% cooked. And if it remains in the fire, it's worse. That is the only scenario that you would not have to deal with your oven. You can leave it on. Why? Because literally every second that it's there is getting worse and worse. It's deteriorating. It's getting black. It's getting gross. So no one in the right mind, no one's going to want to heat it up more or expedite the process. The opposite. You want to remove the food as soon as possible. You want to serve it to your guests because every second that's going by, food is deteriorating. That is the only case that you'd be allowed not to deal with your fire. Again, according to Chacham and Mimhod, it has to be fully cooked. So that it's a third cooked is sufficient, Malcho Ben Jusai, that's a different matter. Okay, back to our Gemara. Disadvantage is that when I have everyone on the bottom, I don't see my clock. Okay, 10:38. Fine, good. Okay, so again, so Ellie, go back to what Ellie said. You might come to stoke the coal, said Ellie, which is the issue of Chazara on Shabbos morning with this hot water or with my chillin' pot that I'm taking off to do a pre-Kiddush Shabbos morning or at the Tish Friday night, and now I want to put it back. I must make sure that my coals, my heating source, are taken care of. Fine, good. Now, we are going to see this. What's easier? I think I'll do it this way. There's my email. I emailed myself. Oh, why isn't it here? I emailed myself a source. Hang on. Why isn't it popping up? I thought I emailed it to myself last night. The Baltimore. It's right here. Okay, I'm going to email it to myself again. Email is a PDF. Okay, there we go. So, what might be the reason? So, if we take a look there we go. Do I have to adjust it? I do. Can I turn it over? Can I rotate it? Is it downloaded first? If you have a regular Gemara in front of you, you can see it inside. Oh, go back. Come back to your rotation button. There it is. Rotate, rotate, rotate. Here we go. Now, the Bala Ma'or, which is at the back, if anybody is trying to see it inside themselves, I don't know how many of you have a real Gemara in front of you, but if you want to see it yourself, the Bala Ma'or is found. Anyway, no, the Bala Ma'or's commentary is printed on the Dape of the Ran. I just can't hear you. And this one is over here. So if it's Tet Vav Amud Bet, it's over here, in case you want to. There, Bala Ma'or, here at the bottom. Okay. He's going to give us a reason. What's the rationale behind it? Okay. So, go to my cursor, please. I just want to get to the point because it's already getting a little bit late. I want to move here. Kol she'anu machrim v'osrim bo ben b'tanu or ben b'kira. So the Ma'or says, that when it comes to where us, it doesn't matter if we have, I don't want to spend time on this, we go through it a lot, two different types of ovens, a tanur or a kira. Inenu el mishum gzera. It's all because of gzera shema yachateba gechalim. You might come to the protocols. V'chen katar Rabbeinu Chananel Zal in his commentary. V'shia zo she'anu mashina takdera eina hatmana ela kigon kisa shabarza v'yashev rola v'itluya baba v'nifayin. He's playing what it looked like. Okay. And again, he is highlighting here this notion of what's the idea. It's a gzera shema yechateba gechalim. For the Bala Ma'or is all about Shema Yechateba Gechalim. That really is what it comes down to. And that is also true. That's what Eli said. So we see that in the Bala Ma'or. We're also going to see it in another source. And this source, I actually wrote up by hand because I couldn't find it anywhere else digitally. No, it's not there. Hang on. I need to take all of you and move you over here. Here. It is found the Sefer HaYashar. There it is. Sefer HaYashar in Rabbeinu Tam. There we go. Again, we're going to see the same thing, right? The Bala Ma'or agrees with the Sefer Yashar Rabbeinu Tam. Shema Yechate. So again, we're going to see this one opinion. It's the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam, Bala Yatosot, the Bala Ma'or, that it's all about, we're worried about stolen coals. Guess what? That is the opinion. That's Eli's opinion. Eli, Rabbeinu Tam, and Bala Ma'or. Look at that. But that is only going to be one side of the equation. The Ran is going to disagree. The Ran, which, by the way, the Bala Ma'or is arguing on the Ran. The Ran's, I'm going to read you the Ran, I don't have time to put it up here. The Ran is going to say, it has nothing to do with Shema Yechateba Gechalim. What does it have to do with? I'm going to read you the words of the Ran, says the Ran. Why didn't I mark it off? Give me one second. It's at the bottom. Ah, are you ready? Machzir b'Shabbos. If you want the bottom line of the Ran, nira kimivashel. It appears as if you are cooking. What's referred to as machzir kimivashel. Oh, you see that? I even wrote down in my notes. Right? Meaning, what's the issue here? The issue is as follows. Think about it. Let's say I'm walking into your house. And I see you take a pot and put your pot on your kira or your tanur. I'm like, you call yourself an Orthodox Jew? You are a heretic. You are desecrating the Sabbath. You're putting pots on fires on Shabbos? That's it. I am not going to talk to you anymore. I'm going to, excommunicate you and put you in cherem. Because you are a heretic, you cook on Shabbos, right? It's machzik. It looks it. So comes along the Ran and says, do you know why you need to douse Afer on your over your coals? Do you know why you need to either remove your coals so that when someone looks at you and says you're putting your pot back on, they're like, oh, wait a second. There are no coals in your oven, right? Or there's ashes sprinkled all over your coals. Oh, it's clear you're not cooking. The sheet of the run is you need to do something so that everybody can see that you are not interested in cooking. What is called the machzik kimivacho. Rashi on our Mishnah, on our well-known Mishnah from a long, long time ago. Oh, what did I just do? I don't know what I just did. Rashi. There. Rashi, see my cursor? Rashi says, Umechze kimavasho. Avalod tasho, why can't you do that? So again, we see here, why couldn't you do chazara? Again, why couldn't you chazara on a pot that's not been taken care of? The Masi Kimavasha. We see there's going to be two schools of thought. Two schools of thought are, do we focus on Shema Yachateva Gechalim, or are we worried about Masi Kimavasha? 2 weeks ago, I don't think, was it last week? I can't remember again. I apologize for not remembering. But we discussed last week, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, this notion of Kohen Darashi of a Hekera. It has to be recognizable, right? You have to be makir. Now, we said last week, 2 weeks ago, it's not just makir for Joe Schmo walking off the street and looking into your property, looking in your stove and say, that is not an Orthodox Jew. They are putting pots on tops of ovens on Shabbos. Let's excommunicate them. No, it is also, we understood, the Masi Kamavashel is also for me, the Balabait, right? It looks as if I'm cooking, meaning I also need to be psychologically, emotionally removed from the cooking process. So on one hand, it's not just, I don't want to leave this as just like a married iron issue, what might like your neighbors say, right? I don't want to talk about a married iron issue, although there are those who want to peg it as a married iron issue. I don't believe that's actually true. Masik Mavasha is not, it looks as if you're cooking, and looks like you're cooking, you might come to, you know, think that you're cooking, you're emotionally cooking, you're psychologically cooking, not just physically cooking. So by placing your ashes, dumping ash over it, or removing your coals, what's called gerufa chtuma, it is clear you are not interested in enhancing the cooking process. So that is what you need to do. And failure to do so, other people might say, you might see yourself as getting involved. And that is why, again, what we said by Rashi, the nomenclature of shehiya, hatmana, and chazara are all related. It is all about being a heker, doing something that you're completely removed from it. Because what might you do if you don't do it? You might come to, again, you might come to stoke the coals, right? So you might come to stoke the coals. You might come to matmin b'remesh ishba gecheles. You might come to envelope something and heat something up with heated coals. And therefore, you need to remove yourself. You have to do something to demonstrate that is clear to everyone and yourself that you're removing yourself from the cooking process. How do you do it? Like we said, removing the ash, removing the coals, or dumping ash on them. Either way, you've accomplished what you need to accomplish. Now, these two schools of thought, where do they come from, right? Meaning for Tosfos, we see he doesn't care, couldn't care less about Balaam or Rabbeinu Tam. Right. By the way, I should have mentioned Rabbeinu Tam that we read is same Rabbeinu Tam is the Tosfos, right? So Shita Balei Tosfos and the Balaam Or is all about Shama Yachate. They don't mention Akira. They don't mention Machzik Kamavasha. They don't seem to be interested in those concerns at all. Whereas Rashi and the Ron are going to focus much more. And as we saw a while ago, which we're going to come back to the Maharam, also they're going to focus much more on this Hekera concept. Now, where does it come from? I believe it comes from the next sugya in our Gemara. I don't know why I thought I'd be able to get through this next sugya as well, but at least we're going to start it. It's worthwhile doing, and we'll pick up on it, Mirz Hashem, next week, but we have 10 minutes, so at least let's begin the next sugya in the Gemara. Hopefully you're all still with me. I have no idea, because I, in fact, cannot see any of you. Do I have a volunteer to read? Okay, this I want to read the next part of the Gemara. Begin with Amar Rebbe Zirika. I realize it is definitely less intimidating reading Gemara that has Nikudot. If you have the Gemara with Nikudot, or if you have a Gemara in front of you, either way, if there's a volunteer to read, that would be great. You have all the punctuation here, so it's definitely less intimidating. Do you have a volunteer to read?
I'm not here.
Thank you very much, David. Take it away.
Amar Rabbi Zvika, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Tadai. Lo shanu ela she odan yado. Ava hinichan al gabe karka. Asur.
Stop. Good. Translate. You can read the English. You can paraphrase English. Read it. By the way, these are not the most common Amoraim and Shas, right?
Well, okay, so Amar Rabbi Zvika, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Tadai, so they all say in the name of each other. Lo Shanu means we don't teach. Lo Shanu Allah means we only teach. I don't know if Sho Dan Beado, something in his hand.
Right, that he's in his hand, meaning when are we saying that you're allowed to do Chazara? We're now going to make a condition. You think that Chazara is a blank check, meaning you think that as long as you've dealt with Bisho, you think as long as you've dealt with your Hekera, Mahzah, you think that's enough? The Chiddush is it is still not enough. It's still not sufficient. You're still missing something very important. And what is that? That what? David, continue. That what?
Okay. Aval Yichan Al Gabay Karka.
Wait, hang on a second. My Shredder doesn't love a Gemara shirt. Can I call you back? Okay, bye. Yeah, go ahead. That what? Avinichan al gabe karka. What does that mean?
Karka means ground.
The ground.
I'm not reading English. So,
so again, Avinichan al gabe karka. If you put it in the ground, it's aser. Meaning, what do we see here? When are you allowed to return it? Only if it's still what? So again, what have you done? It's in your hand. But if you let go of it and you put it on the ground, you can't do chazara. So again, this is chazara is going to have an additional, I don't know, call it a chumrah. Right, by the way, the question is why. So this might not be gzera unto gzera. Moshe's questions may not apply. You'll see why. So again, what are we saying? That you're not allowed to do, for sure, you can't cook on Shabbos. Not only that, but you need to have a hakera. Even if you've done all that, if you take your pot, your children pot, right, or your kumkum, your kettle, your urn, and you put on the ground, you're done. You cannot put it back on your kira. Okay, why? Well, wait, David, why do you think that might be? Why can't you do that? Why is it your hand on it, right? So so again, think about this for a second. This is you need tremendous dexterity. Here's your big chillin pot. Take it out, siphon out of it, and my hand is still on it, and then I put it back. Wow. David, why might it be that you can't put it on the ground?
Because if you have your hand on it the whole time, then you're demonstrating that you plan to take it and to put it back on.
And by putting it on the ground?
You're demonstrating that you don't plan to put it back on, that you're done with heating it up.
So why can't I put it back down? Why can't I put it back on the fire? So again, why would we have this additional chumrah? Interesting. David, why might you think the rabbis don't want you to let go of the pot?
I know that I've done this before many times to have cholent on Friday night. It's a great move. But yeah.
So this is very, okay, so this needs to be analyzed, my friends. Why is it that all of a sudden, when it comes to Chazara, you can't let go of the pot, or you can't put it in the ground, let's say. Right? Interesting. Okay. So that's going to be condition. And now we're going to show this condition, right? Meaning we're going to have like a maisa that deals with this condition. Go on, David. Amar Rabbi Amai.
Amar Rabbi Amai. Rabbi Tadai Davad V'Garmei Hu Davad.
Okay. So what happens? Okay. Now we have a situation where what?
That which Rabbi Tadai did and said he did on his own and not in accordance with the accepted halakha.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, you want to tell me, yeah, Rabbi Amai didn't do this. Well, guess what? He was wrong. Right? Oh, or that was one opinion. No. Or no. You are allowed to put it on the ground. Meaning, we see this in machlokas. Can you put it on the ground or not? Some say it's aser, meaning, of course it's fully cooked. Of course you've done gruva achduma. What about putting it on the ground? So we have machlokas. One opinion says if you put it on the ground, you cannot do chazara. One opinion says you can still do chazara. Okay? That's the... Now, continue. Now, plige ba. Those of you that are following, it's right here. Plige ba.
Plige ba, Rav Dimi, Rav Shmua, Bar Yehuda, V'tarvai, Hu, Mishmei, Zerabi, Alazar, Amri, Chadama.
Okay, so this machloge, yes or no, is spelled out the following. Now, in which way? In a different way. Okay? Chadamar.
Chadamar, Odan, Biado, Mutar, Agabe, Karkasur. So one says, if you still have your hand on it, then you're okay. And if you put it on the ground, then you can't put it back.
So that's machloka we saw before, right? Yes, on the ground. No, on the ground. Hand, fine. Now we're going to say, no. We're going to clarify. Perhaps this is clarifying. Perhaps this is another machloka. Maybe this is explaining. We're going to say it's a bit unclear. Amar Rav Chizkia continue mishmei dabaye.
Amar Rav Chizkia mishmei dabaye hadamart. Udan biado mutar lo amrana ella shadato lavzir. Oh, indato lavzir asur.
So what's this referring to? When you have in your hand that's permissible, it's not about where you put it, but it's about what your intention. Dato lavzir, meaning if I take it off the fire and my intention is to put it back, then what? That's okay. If my intention is not to put it back, I'm not allowed to. Then I changed my mind, right? I think what? Everyone is already over my house for Shabbos lunch. So I then what? Hold it in my hand. It's still in my hand for whatever reason. And I'm doling out chon to everybody. And all of a sudden, even though it's in my hand still, Miriam says, oh, Aaron, David hasn't come yet. He's going to be 15 minutes late. But I thought what? That everyone's already arrived. I'm like, oh my goodness, 15 minutes late? The chon's going to be cold. Let me put it back for him. In case David only shows, especially if David doesn't show 15 minutes later, David shows up half hour later. I don't want to have cold chill in Nebuch, right? I feel terrible. But when I took it off, right, the issue was I was taking it off thinking I'm emptying up the contents or everyone's here. I'm not going to put it back on. So that is what we're now saying. The Chizkia sending is a baya. It's all about your das. It's about your intent. I see it's 10:59. We have 1 minute left. Sorry, let me just read this line. That maybe, excuse me, we're trying to say is that what is stronger? Is it about my dot? Or is it putting it on the floor? What about if I put it on the floor, but I want to be machzir? Are we going to say that's asur? Right? Are we going to say that putting it on the karka is an ace of spades? Putting it on the karka, even if you want to put it back, too bad. Once you put it on the ground, you're done. Or do we say, my friends, it's all about intent. So, babe, you could even argue that if I have intent to put it back, maybe if I put it on the floor, it might be still permissible. But this opinion is going to argue, no, putting it on the ground is a dead stop. What about, by the way, if I let go of it, but put it on a table? What about if I don't put it on the ground? What does the ground mean? Is this like mamish ground? What about a table? What about the counter? Okay, so that we're going to have to see the more complexity of this halacha next week as well. So just to summarize, then we're gonna end for today, and that is the following: that we see when it comes to chazara, there's a machloket rishonim. Is it all about simply focusing on shema yachadeba gechalim? That's the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam the Bala Maor. The other school of thought is going to be Rashi and the Ran. That is not necessarily about shema yachadeba gechalim. It's all about being a hacker, machzikim mevashel, right? And now all of a sudden we're trying to get to the root behind chazara. We're going to see there's an additional stringency. Additional stringency is going to be something about your intent and putting on the ground and letting go. How does that play in to chazara? And how does that play in maybe to the machloket between Rabbeinu Tam / on the same side, the Baal Mor and Rashi and the Ran? Okay, but that, Mirz Hashem, we'll have to pick up next week. So if you can, continue in the sugya here in the Gemara. And if, I always encourage you, of course, to see the Rishonim inside, the ones that we don't have as much time to go through word for word. Any questions at this point and time, anybody? We're okay? Okay, good, hopefully. So, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rawa.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Hopefully in person next time.
Yes, exactly.